Hi, I'm Matt Curtis, founder of Smart City Policy Group. Our team of former policymakers works on bridging the divide between the innovation economy and government. This chat brings together discussions with local leaders, innovators, and stakeholders while we all try to highlight solutions that work. The world is changing and new ideas are coming to communities every day. Let's highlight the solutions and the best practices and let's hear what works for local leaders. Here now are Smart City Policy Stories. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This is another Smart City Policy Story. We have a great discussion today. The former mayor of Miami, such a spectacular town, former mayor Manny Diaz is with us. We're going to talk a little bit about how he helped transform that great city and maybe get into a little bit about his book, Miami Transformed, which you can still find online. Mayor Diaz, how you doing?
Doing great, Matt. Thanks for the invitation. Good to see you.
Oh, great. No, thank you. It's good to see you. So Miami really is a great town. And one of the great stories when reading about Miami Transformed or reading about your history with Miami is about the talent pool. And you've got this incredible history, you yourself, and then so many people who live and who've grown up in Miami have brought so many great attributes to that city. It's so diverse. It's so filled with so many great stories. Talk to us a little bit about the great talent that you find in the city.
And as a corollary to that, I mean, one of the concerns that I always had was that we were losing a lot of that talent, you know, brain drain, and people were, you know, like a lot of my colleagues were, you know, going up to the Northeast to study or Midwest or somewhere, and they were not coming back because they didn't find Miami to provide the opportunities. I mean, when you spend some time in a place like Chicago or New York or Boston, you look back at your hometown and you go, geez, you know, there are a lot of amenities here and a lot of ways that are intellectually challenging to me that don't exist in Miami. And so that was before I decided to run. And my pitch was always like, yeah, well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If all of our talent, you know, moves out of town, then we won't develop those kinds of venues and places that you want to see in your city. So when I ran, obviously that was, you know, it was very, you know, it was a forward looking kind of campaign that we need to not only attract people from out of town, but just even our own people, and, you know, make sure that they don't leave. If they leave, they come back. And so how do you do that? You know, how do you build that infrastructure, the city infrastructure, if you will, not just bricks and mortars. And I, you know, based on my own gut, based on reading a lot, because one of the things that I've always done in my life is I always feel like I have to learn something every day. And so even while I was running, I was going on, the webpage for various cities and various mayors that I had, you know, read about during my years, and to look at see what they had done. And after doing all that, I sort of came down on five principal areas, which I then we can talk about later if you like. I mean, I then sort of incorporated that into my year as president of the Conference of Mayors in 2008, when we put together an agenda for both then Senator Obama and Senator McCain, and participated and had them participate in forums that we held around the country. But essentially, you know, first and foremost, you know, economic opportunity. And economic opportunity is not just about dealing with poverty, but in the traditional sense, but also creating the climate of opportunity that attacks the problem. And that included a whole series of sub issues and sub categories, you know, from education to homelessness to small business. I mean, just a whole series of programs that ultimately, by the way, became a national model that was used by Mayor Bloomberg when he formed something called the Cities for Financial Empowerment, where they selected, you know, five cities initially. To try to combine what were the best practices of five cities to develop a national model for economic opportunity poverty type program, not, you know, the traditional stuff that, you know, Washington had been doing for a long time, but, you know, to see what mayors were doing and what was working in their cities. So that was one area. The second area was, of course, you know, public safety. You know, Miami had a reputation for not being safe, and it's difficult to get young families to move in. It's difficult to get the business sector to invest if they feel like the city is not safe. And so that's also at the top of the list. Infrastructure, you know, obviously it's very popular now with the American Jobs Plan and President Biden and the whole discussion that's taking place around the country. You need to make neighborhoods, and cities are a compilation of neighborhoods, and you need to make those neighborhoods desirable for people to live in. And what does that mean? Well, you know, you can't, everything from, you know, trash collection to the traditional pothole, but even fixing a median. You know, I learned a lot from our colleagues, Mayor Riley, for example, who, you know, I had the great pleasure to work with very closely at the Mayors of Institute Design, City Design. And I walked around the streets of Charleston with him and saw how he's looking at, you know, sidewalks, and is a sidewalk chipped, you know, it needs to be fixed, call Public Works. But it's that attention to detail in the neighborhood and all neighborhoods that really begin to make those neighborhoods desirable. And if they're desirable, then people will want to, one of the reasons they'll want to live there is because it's somebody cares. I mean, you know, mayors can fly into a city and within half an hour determine whether someone is paying attention, someone is applying TLC to their city. And that's the way I govern. That's the kind of person I am. I mean, if I'm walking down a sidewalk and there's a piece of paper, I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, I travel with my wife to Paris, for example, and she's taking pictures of the Louvre and I'm taking pictures of street furniture, you know, I mean, you know, a bus stop, an outdoor ashtray, you know, a bus shelter, the lights, you know, all those things. And she's like looking at me like I've gone nuts, but those are the attention to details that I think make a city important, and that's part of the infrastructure and parks, and those kind of categories. Then of course the environment. You know, I mean, if you're not, and by the way, the environment to me, I had an aha moment, you know, sort of in the middle of my term where. In 2005, when we started responding to the United States, our government's refusal to sign Kyoto, and then Vice President Gore came out with Inconvenient Truth, it sort of put the whole, and many of us were already environmentalists, but we were environmentalists in the sort of the traditional sense, but now it was tied into a much greater issue in terms of climate change and saving the planet, you know. And so that's when all of us got together and developed the Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement, which was the implementation of Kyoto at the city level. And one of the interesting things that I found by actually, you know, reading that whole program was the fact that urban planning and urban design is an integral part of fighting the climate. And so it wasn't just about, you know, let's design, you know, a wider sidewalk for the sake of designing it, but it's really, all of a sudden you realize that, you know, the two major contributors, you know, automobiles, and buildings. And so, well, we're going to have green buildings, you know, it's going to be a mandate in the city of Miami. And so we did. And so in 2005, we had zero green buildings in the city of Miami, zero. And we went from zero to being a top 10 city in the country.
Oh, you're incredible. I mean, I feel like when you talk to people who work on sustainability and resilience issues in Miami, the developers that are in Miami who are leading the charge on this, and I think so often attribute, you know, the leadership that you provide and the vision that you provided, I think of Miami immediately as a city that is probably the loudest about sustainability, resilience, and the environment in the design and the construction and the building of the community. That's, you've really designed a great city though.
Thank you. And it wasn't, that wasn't our history. Like I said, we had zero. I mean, when I started talking about green buildings, some people thought I wanted to paint buildings green. That's how ignorant we were about the area. But if you think about it, it is about making a city that designing a city that works. Right. Because if you design a city that works, part of that is that you get people out of cars. And so, you know, again, attention to details. There's nothing that excites me more every morning when I see like a bunch of cyclists,
right?
You know, driving their cycles or a little moped or walking or taking public transit to work. Because it's like, yeah, this is what was meant to happen.
And do you think that by making it such a cycling friendly town, a walkable town in this, you know, really attractive city. And you mentioned in your book, the news that was generated in the 1980s, the Time magazine article about the safety, making it a much more safe town in your tenure and since. Did that help you sustain that talent that you were talking about rather than seeing people flee? I'm assuming the answer is yes, but
absolutely. Not only did we sustain the talent, I mean, we promoted Miami. If you look at the urban core, 135 high-rise buildings were built in my 8 years.
Wow.
That's remarkable. I mean, you think about it, 8 years, that's 96 months, right?
Wow.
So more than one a month that I was either cutting a ribbon or topping off or doing a groundbreaking.
Incredible.
And now what you see when you go through the urban core is young families with a stroller and their kids or walking their dog. And this was a city where at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, we shut down. I mean, you turned off the lights in the urban core and everybody went out to suburbia. And now it's all the contrary. I mean, we have, I don't know the latest count, but it's I think it's over 100,000 people now just living in, you know, the downtown core.
Incredible. And the art scene there is so attractive. I know that that's something, you know, as a small employer, is very attractive to me. I'm sure that larger employers attribute that to being part of the greater culture of a community that would attract people. You worked pretty significantly on growing and really promoting your arts and culture scene.
Yeah, and that was actually the fifth prong, because it is hard to really build a sustainable city. Art is about the fabric of our society. You know, art. I mean, you know, first of all, ask yourself when you travel. Generally, you know, the first thing you look for is some sort of cultural, you know, a museum, or a park, but certainly a museum, and because it is, you know, it's what defines a city. It talks about, you know, it speaks to the fabric of that city. It connects today with the past. I mean, when you mentioned the Louvre, when you go to these, you know, the great museums around the world, I mean, you look and you go, you know, think about it. There were no iPhones, right? There were no cameras. So our connection to what the world used to look like is because someone got a commission from a very wealthy person back then or a church or somebody said, here, you know, paint a picture of Michelangelo. You know, I mean, it was like, and that's all we know. And so it's transcendental. And it really is the connection that we have as a human race to, you know, what things look like thousands of years ago.
So you transformed a city. And you've provided this great best practice model. It truly is a city that is filled with best practices and can be viewed as a best practice example for other cities. One of the ways that you're able to tell the story of Miami is through the network of mayors with whom you worked. And you did that probably at the very top of the pyramid of mayors through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. That looked like it was just an incredible group of minds coming together and sharing learned experiences. Did you find that to be the case?
Oh my God. It's probably, certainly in the top five of the best decisions I made, in office, for two reasons. First and foremost, it's difficult to find a mayor, and I had the opportunity to work not just with US mayors, but foreign mayors from Europe, Latin America, even China. And it's so interesting. Yes, we come from different systems and different severity of challenges, but the challenges are all the same. The only difference is the number of zeros after your city, in your city's budget. But everybody's dealing with the same things. So you have, when I got on there, for example, Rich Daley, Mayor Daley from Chicago, was one of my go-to persons. I had read all the history about the Daley family in Chicago, and he was certainly up there as one of the best in the country, when I got elected. So and you're like a little child learning how to speak. You're in awe of these people because they've been through it. They've done it. For example, if you might remember in the book, one of the biggest issues facing that I had in terms of a livable city concept was I had abandoned cars all over the city. I don't know what had happened, but talk about somebody not paying attention. You drove through practically every neighborhood in the city, and there was an abandoned car either on the street or on somebody's front yard or a side yard. And I made that a priority. So I remember one of my first conversations with Mayor Daley was I said, I've obviously seen what you've done over the course of the last, 15 years at that point since he had been in office. I said, but what did you see the first, the first week? What was your big issue? He goes, abandoned cars. And I thought to myself, okay, I've been to Chicago a bunch of times. It never occurred to me that abandoned cars were ever a problem in Chicago. But lo and behold, yes, it was. And so, how did you deal with it? And then, I started through that whole process with him, and we got rid of all ours. And the impact on neighborhoods is incredible. So, and I could give you lots of other examples. I mentioned Mayor Bloomberg and a bunch of mayors around the country that we just sit there, and it's an education.
And you continue to mentor mayors. I mean, I've seen you in action since leaving office. You're still very involved, and you're talking to mayors from different parts of the country because they're still learning from the things that you did with Miami. I think it makes me view the network of American mayors as being, and I'm probably biased here, but being more effective than all the other layers of government that we have right now, that mayors and local government are making things happen.
Absolutely. In fact, even when I was in office, I had a rule with my staff. If a mayor calls, you put the call through. I don't care if you've never heard the city, heard of the city before, whether it's an American city or a foreign city. If there's a mayor on the phone, he gets through to me. And I take, great pride in that because that was there for me. And so it's kind of like a family. It's, you pass it on from generation to generation. And to this day, I still talk to many mayors. There are a number of mayors. The current president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, for example, took my education program, which is called the Education Compact, and implemented it in Louisville, Kentucky. The now senator from Colorado, Senator Hickenlooper, who went on to become governor and now senator, took my urban design program and implemented it in Denver. I took stuff from Daley. I took stuff. So, one thing we're not afraid of is to plagiarize.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's already done it, and they've done it well. Sure, you always filter it because every city is different, but the concepts and the implementation are key, and you see how. Plus, listen, mayors evolve, so it's like you may not get it right the first time. Try again, try a third time. You know, so it cuts out the don't do it this way. I know you want to get here, but don't let that be the first step.
Right.
And so that it saves you, you know, making the errors that we all invariably make when we're trying something and get to your goal faster. So, I mean, it was just an incredible experience. And like you said, one of the things there's one thing I miss from being mayor is hanging out with the other mayors.
Yeah.
And I still sort of do.
I've seen you, and I think they appreciate your continued leadership and your continued wisdom. And I think without you, so many cities wouldn't be doing better. I will tell you that from one of the two mayors I worked with, Mayor Wynn here in Austin, certainly was much more involved in the environment after signing that mayor's climate protection agreement. Right. After learning from you about the importance of green building. More sustainability. And I think we tried to implement that here in Austin. And I'm sure they did that in other cities as well.
Yeah. Oh, Mayor Wynn was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Well, mayors can definitely learn from you. Local people who are interested in local government and local issues can learn from you. You can find a copy of Miami Transformed online. It's a great read. It's kind of funny when, oftentimes when we're reading things about local government, it's not always a lot of fun. This is actually a fun read. So
thanks.
We really appreciate you.
I thank you very much. I try to make it conversational so that it'd be an easy read.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, and thanks for being with us. We look forward to seeing you at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and we look forward to seeing your continued leadership with local government around the country.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your support and your friendship through the years.